Welcome to Keep Sweet, the Positive World Podcast. I am your host, Joshua Gonzalez, and I have my husband with me. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how's it going?
And we are here to bring you another episode of the Keep Sweet Podcast, where we have a good news story for you coming up. And we also have an interview with stage manager Kristen Dwyer. And it's really cool to hear about the stage managing world, and especially her world, where she's more accustomed to stage managing non-traditional theater experiences and events. So, you know, like these immersive things, like, you know, it's a lot different, you know.
Is she the stage manager for Return the Moon?
She is.
Oh, how cool. I can't wait to hear about how she does that.
I know, because she does a lot. Isn't it cool? She's like doing everything behind the scenes.
It really is. Everyone who sees the show is like, y'all have done things on Zoom I've never seen before.
I know. And I think we have. So, yeah. Come see Return the Moon, everyone. So, Matt, how are you doing? What are you drinking tonight? What's going on?
Since I skipped last week, I knew I had to have a drink in hand this week, and I finished our bottle of Jack Daniel's. But I mixed it with a peach and honey sparkling water.
Oh, and is it good?
It really is. I mean, it's not my first time doing this.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, good to know. And how are you? What's new with you? Anything cool?
What is new? I was on another podcast. I cheated on this one.
No.
It hasn't come out yet.
Okay.
But I'll let you know.
Okay, cool.
It's an hour-long interview, so like we went deep.
Wow,
60
deep.
Minutes.
60, okay.
2020.
Come on, Todd Brokaw. I don't know. Is that...
Tim
Brokaw?
Tom.
Is he from 60 Minutes? Oh, Tom Brokaw.
Every episode is going to have a Come From Away reference.
Sure. Is he from 60 Minutes? What does he do?
Not sure.
Tell us in the comments. All right. So for today's good news story, I absolutely love this one. He's a hero of mine now. Okay. So Johnny Kim, aged 37, changed his career 3 times and has achieved becoming a Navy SEAL, a trained Harvard doctor, and now he is a NASA astronaut.
You know, this is a man after my own heart, just changing his careers. He's doing, you know, way more than I've ever done in each of them, but super impressive.
I know, right? And it's also just like, it's another thing that I love where life is too short, you know, to do one thing. I'm going to try them all. I'm going to do everything as much as I can possibly do.
He's like those people who learn like 11 languages. Like once you know 3, you know them all.
So
he's like, once you become a Navy SEAL, you can do anything.
I think it's more like once you become a trained Harvard doctor, then you can do anything.
Which one was first?
Navy SEAL was first.
Well.
But I don't know.
One of us is right and
one of us is wrong, yeah. Well, kudos to Johnny Kim for being an inspiration. You know, it just goes to show you can change your careers, you can do things wildly differently, and you can succeed. You just have to put your mind to it and, like, learn and, like, do it, you know?
He's probably single.
How dare you? You don't know.
I don't know. Look it up.
Let's see if I can look it up real quick. Vamp for me.
Do 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 boom vamp boom.
Oh, I thought you were gonna like talk about.
Yeah,
things.
I probably would. I'm just not good at that.
Okay. But. Well, I'm scrolling through his Instagram and I cannot tell, and I don't want to be doing this research for the entire episode. So we're gonna move on. And if you out there know whether or not Johnny Kim is single, let us know in the comments, I guess.
Okay. Not for long after that article.
I know, not for long after this article. He's going to have everyone busting down his door. All right, so that's today's good news story. Just goes to show you can do anything in life. Be like Johnny Kim if you want. And now on to today's interview. Hi, everyone. On today's podcast, we have stage manager Kristen Dwyer. Please welcome her to the podcast. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Joshua.
Hi, I'm so glad to have you.
I'm glad to be here.
You have been a big part of my pandemic journey, being my stage manager for Return the Moon. And so I wanted to bring you on because you're awesome and all the people deserve to know how awesome you are. So thank you for being on.
Thank you so much.
Can you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I am a stage manager, as you said. Specifically, I work a lot in immersive or non-traditional theater and events. Mm-hmm. I'm born and bred upstate New York. Spent some time living in the city, have since moved out recently. And I guess that's me in a couple sentences.
Yeah, it is. But it's a fraction. You are so much more
than much.
But we'll get to it soon. So yeah, you gave us just enough, just a taste, and then we can delve in further. So you are stage manager. You are the stage manager for Return the Moon. You've also been a stage manager for other Third Rail projects, works that we have worked on together in like various ways. And so I'm curious, because I don't know your path story of how you got into the stage managing gig. Where did you stumble upon the theater world in your life? Give us the history from young Kristen.
The journey.
Well, you're still young, but you know.
Well, young Kristen began dance and gymnastics at 5 years old. And then
just like my husband. So you have
and
that in
then
common.
Jumped into doing local community theater, performing on stage. I was a little attention hog. Mm-hmm. So performed all through high school, mostly in musicals, and went to college at SUNY New Paltz for theater in their performance track. And from there sort of developed an interest moving towards directing out of performing. And then post college, I began getting gigs that were, you know, very poorly paid, and they were like, oh, you can be the assistant director / stage manager, because they really needed someone to do the work of stage management. And, you know, bonus, you can put on your resume that you were the assistant director. But so that was kind of how I started dabbling into stage management. I hadn't done it at all during college.
Oh, wow.
I think because I thought I might be good at it and I didn't want to be pigeonholed like in that environment.
Sure.
But then when I was doing it, I did actually enjoy it and was good at it. So
yeah.
I kept doing it more.
That is so fun. And that's so good to know. And I just want to note too, that like, it's so interesting to me to finally hear that you were kind of more director focused, because in this collaboration for Return the Moon, you know, we've all have had such a big hand in the creation of it. And it's been so nice to actually see you be like, this doesn't work. Ooh, what about if we try this? Or like, what if we do this? And like seeing you get to use that director muscle, I'm like, cause I've been like, why is Kristen so good at this? And because normally, you know, like sometimes stage managers, maybe not like they know like technical logistics down to a T, but like sometimes like you also just have such an artistic eye and feeling, and it's just so nice to be in the room with you.
Well, thank you. In the Zoom room.
With you.
Thank you. Yeah, it has been really fun to be a collaborator on this project and be able to contribute creatively. I think you're absolutely right that especially just depending on the company and depending on the director, like I think sometimes a stage manager really is like siloed into like stay in your lane, you know, manage the technical side of things, manage the personnel, but you know, keep your mouth shut creatively, or keep your nose out of things. So it's really nice to work with people who embrace the whole of everyone's creativity and really welcome contributions on all sides. And especially with Return the Moon, this project working in Zoom, and you all have to be your own technicians, and you know, like we're outside eyes, so we're just you know, we're almost film directors
yes, you are. So when So when you like started discovering this like whole stage management thing, was there like one or like a period of time where you had like this one gig and you were like, oh, I think I want to like really, really do this more? Or was it just kind of like you kept falling into gigs and it just kind of kept happening? Like, how has this like become where you are today?
Yeah, that's a great question, because actually, you know, post-college, I sort of fell into it and was freelancing around a little bit. And then I shifted out to work in arts admin, craving a little more stability and regularity.
Very fair.
I really lack hustle, which was a challenge in the freelance life of like, you're supposed to be always finding your next gig, always, you know, like lining things up. And I just like really had trouble doing that. Like I wanted to focus on the project I was on and not be worrying about lining things up. So I shifted into arts admin for a few years and then was in a job and was not super happy in that job. And, picked back up doing an ASM gig like in the evenings, and found that contrast again and that life of, oh my gosh, I'm like getting on the elevator after a terrible day at work and I'm going to rehearsal and I feel so excited and alive and happy. And oh, like that's a sign. So I quit the job. I quit my day job. And that was when I really said, okay, I'm like really pursuing stage management then. And it was just good timing that the next gig after that I had was, being a PA at Then She Fell.
Yay. Then She Fell, which was Third Row Project's long running immersive show here in the city and where we met.
Right. So that turned out to just be an amazing, important moment because the PA gig, the 4-month contract turned into another 4 months as an ASM swing. Mm-hmm. And then I was invited to the PSM role and just spent a few years at Then She Fell full time, you know, so I didn't have to do that hustle that I was bad at and I could focus on just running the show. And it was really amazing. And it was really sad to say goodbye to that last spring. But that was, yeah, definitely huge, huge, huge for me.
Cool. So now that you have like really, pun intended, immersed yourself in this non-traditional stage management type of work, How can you explain a little bit about like what different skills you have to have in order to be a stage manager for a show where audience members are running through a 3-story space and in different rooms with the performers, and you kind of have to keep track of where audience are and what's happening and where the performers are and what's happening and all the props throughout a 3-story space? Like, that seems like a lot for a stage manager.
It is a lot. And I'll acknowledge that, like, I didn't do it alone. You know, it is a lot. We had a fabulous team between the ASMs and PAs as well. But yeah, it definitely requires a certain increased level of flexibility and kind of go with the flow-ness, sort of cultivating that willingness to let things be driven in maybe a different direction than and let go of what should happen, like as long as things are safe and as long as things are moving more or less in the direction that is required, like getting a little more hands off actually. And it is just for Then She Fell especially, it was a very different skill set versus, you know, your classic proscenium stage manager who is sitting in a booth in the back of the theater and calling all of the cues. This was much less cue heavy and just much more people focused. keeping eyes on performers, keeping eyes on audience members, and managing all of that movement.
Yeah. And I will say, I think, you know, having it be so people focused has like really, like, I think you have developed those people skills a lot because you are one of the best, like, I think most of the stage managers, or if not all of the stage managers who have worked with third rail projects, are also kind of the best like company manager slash hybrid stage manager. Because, you know, I've worked on shows where, because oftentimes in theater productions, the stage manager kind of acts as a company manager. Mm-hmm. And for those that don't know, a company manager is the one who, like, you know, makes sure that all the performers and everyone has everything that they need, that like all of their things are met in their contracts. If you're having housing, you know, they arrange all the housing and make sure you're just all taken care of and whatever. But oftentimes when stage managers are kind of put in that kind of company manager role, sometimes they're not, they're just usually stage managers in my experience aren't necessarily the most like extroverted, people focused. Like they always take care of their actors, but they're not like proactive in being like, how are you? How are you feeling? What's going on? How can I problem solve proactively? Yeah.
There's a stereotype of like, you know, we're very organized and we're like spreadsheet people.
But like when I think of you and I think of like Nick, who is another one, I think like y'all are also the best like company manager and stage managers. Like you feel very much like, I mean, you're too young to be my mother, but you feel very much, you know, motherly, and I feel so taken care of and safe, you know? And I think that's so important, especially in these types of works where so many extra things can happen at a moment's notice. When you're, you know, interacting with audience members in real time and real life. So I forgot where I was going with this. but you got people skills and you learned them. So good on you. Do you feel that? Do you feel?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, okay. I think it is important. And I think I see it in a lot of stage managers, even in more traditional theater. But you're right that the demands of immersive theater are just that much higher on an interpersonal level. And so I think it invites the stage managers to step up that much more, to support the cast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. I love it. I love it. So now you are working in these like non-traditional spaces. Do you prefer, I mean, I'm guessing, do you like it more? Do you not like, do you like a traditional theater cue, calling, having your cue book with a script and following along, calling
I
those
mean,
cues?
That's or do you like also it? Fun. I think I have not had the experience of like a really long run for a traditional show. The longest that I have run a proscenium show like that, I did like a 1 month run of A Little Princess musical, which was fun, very fun. And you know, I enjoyed being in the booth, and especially in a musical, like calling the cues is very rhythmic, and like there's an artistry to it that is satisfying. But I always talked about with Then She Fell that being able to be at this show for years and not get bored, and it's still so satisfying and so fun and so challenging. And I think that the immersive element and having the audience be this enormous X factor of what will happen tonight, definitely lends itself to a stimulating work environment where, you know, you can keep going and not get bored.
Oh, never, ever. Never a dull day at the Ward between audience happenings, new performers going in tracks or switching tracks or proposals or all those private events that I made you do.
they were all fun. Great.
And thank you to all those audience members for booking those private events. We love you.
I loved a good private event.
So now we're in a run of this show that we did, Return the Moon. It's still running. Get tickets, link in the show notes. But how is that? How has this process been? Because it's all on Zoom. So you have been like stage managing us through Zoom. I mean, you're upstate. Most of us are in the city. Director's in Denver. And not only that, but during the whole like second half of the show, you're running cues for everyone while we're all performing these images and things. Talk to us a little bit about how that process has been. Cause like that to me seems terrifying. Cause I only have to worry about my, like, I have to get this image right and I have to perform this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're kind of like, everything you do matters for everyone.
I mean, I think definitely there's a challenge that like, like, oh, well, like there's only so much I can do, right, to control the situation. If we're on site at the ward and a speaker or something blows, you know, something's not working, then mm-hmm. I can crawl in there and try and fix it. But if one of your guys's like internet goes out mm-hmm. or equipment isn't working in the middle of the show, you have to troubleshoot that, you know, and I can try and help support you, but it is remote. It is, you know, there's a lag time in being able to communicate that support. Mm-hmm. So it is hard as a stage manager to like let go of how much is in your control mm-hmm. and be like, well, there's just less that I can take care of myself. Like,
yeah.
So we have to make sure you guys are like well prepared and understand your setups and all of that.
And I mean, I already had so much admiration for all technicians and stage managers and everything. But after this run, I have so much more admiration and appreciation. And like, I mean, all that to say, I'm just not going to miss having to run my own cue lab.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't have to run my own cue lab, I'm going to be much more relieved. But it's been fun because, yeah, we've been having to be, like, you have been having to teach us things. And also another cool thing that Kristen has had to do is, like, you know, during the performance, for instance, I'm in various spots in my bedroom looking at various devices. So if something is going wrong and Kristen needs to tell me, she kind of has to guess where I am in that moment and what I'm looking at.
Right, right. Are you looking in Zoom if I message you there, or exactly. Should I Slack you or text you?
Exactly. And somehow you keep doing that great for people when things are maybe not going perfectly. So that's amazing. What do you find is like your greatest joy or like love with Return the Moon?
Oh, I love it so much. It's so cool. Aww. Like, I mean, I get to watch it every night, which is extra special. And just seeing the images that are so beautiful, and especially getting to hear from audience members who are tuning in from all over, and how touched they seem to be by it. Like the feedback at the end is always really heartwarming to read. And yeah, I just really love that this is a show that you can tune into from anywhere in the world. You can tune in, you know, from your couch with your dog or your baby on your lap or whatever. Like, you know, I love how accessible it is.
Yeah.
I think that's really special for Third Rail to be able to offer, especially like, you know, knowing that that was a challenge in Then She mm-hmm. Fell that we weren't always able to meet, you know, in that 3-story building with no elevator. And
yeah.
So that's been another thing that I've really, really loved about Return the Moon.
Yeah, me too. It's really, really great. And I hope that going forward, we can like really keep making things that are like accessible to everyone as much as possible. I really love that about this piece. So pivoting now our conversation, because another reason why I absolutely adore you is your activism and like how good you are at it, how proactive you are at it, which is, I think, the hardest part for a lot of people. And also just like how just so natural you are. Like your posts don't come off like, or when you're speaking, like when you're speaking to like, when we're in a meeting about like anti-racism or something, it just, nothing ever comes off so harsh and like critical, which I feel like a lot of people sometimes can be, because we're also passionate and we want to do better and we want to, but like, you know, we have to do it in a way that actually affects change. And the way you do it is just so natural and like, I want to say casual, but not, because it's like really effective. I don't know, but like, tell me how, where does this come from in you? Teach Thank me you. How to be a better activist.
So I will start with plugging Amplifying Activists Together, which is a group that formed, the founders are theater people, and they formed in 2020 to initially to try and work towards the New York City budget, defunding the police by $6 billion. Out of $1 billion out of their budget, petitioning city council and so on. And, you know, the founders are theater people, and they were just like, well, we know people and we know how to talk to people. We don't know a lot about what's happening, but we can find out and then we can spread that message.
Yeah.
And they have been continuing to do that all year. They just got on Instagram and Facebook, so you can find them there and plug in, join the newsletters, join the email list, and join the Zoom calls. We like get on Zoom, they prepare a script, and it's all following the advice of activists who are, you know, full-time activists who are really like on the ground and know what's happening on these different campaigns. And so they just kind of activate this group at critical moments to get that calling power. And what I really love about it too is that we're calling our representatives. We're calling the governor, we're calling city council members, we're calling our state senators and representatives, and they work for us. So like it's not scary to call them because it's their job to listen to you.
Yeah, 100%.
So I find that, I have found that that is a very accessible way for me to be plugged into issues and to be making a difference on things, and is less scary than like campaigning, like on a political campaign where you're calling fellow voters, right? Yeah. And like, I'm like, oh, I don't want to knock on doors or whatever, you know, like that is absolutely necessary and important work that I know so many people do. But this was something that was a good fit for me.
Yeah.
So we read the scripts, you know, we make the calls, we make the emails. If you're on Twitter, you can tweet, but I'm not on Twitter, so I don't. And we have made some important changes. Like we've been a part of it. So the Less is More Act just got signed by Governor Hochul. And that was one of the things that we campaigned for early in
Amazing.
The year. So yeah, we've definitely made a lot of strides. Right now there's a focus on trying to close Rikers. So it's a lot of people who are based in New York City, but anyone who lives, works, or plays in New York State can join the group. And if you're not in New York State ever, you know, I think you can still probably take those lessons, you know. I mean, I'm like so jealous almost sometimes of my friends who have networks in other states, right, in swing states or places where you can, but sometimes it feels like, you know, oh, you can make a bigger difference in some of those places. But
yeah,
but for New York, like it was really enlightening to to realize, oh, like we have this progressive reputation, but we don't always enact those policies.
No.
But so here's a way that we can actually say, hey, like we want to live up to that.
That is so cool. And it sounds like it's also like the group makes it easy for people to get involved and actually like execute, because I feel like that's what I have been struggling. Like every now and then I'll get like a friend who helps me like start like phone banking or something for voting or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or like I can use my own Instagram to like send out things to people. But like, I haven't been able to like, where do I get consistent information on important things and how do I make action on some of them? And so this feels like it's like a group that like kind of does some of that for you. So you can just like pick up the paint by numbers and mm-hmm. go do it.
Yeah. It makes it easy to plug in.
That's so cool.
Sure.
And what are they called again?
Amplifying Activists Together.
Okay. Amplifying Activists Together. Everyone get into it. Get into it. Okay, cool. That sounds amazing. Are you involved in any other campaigns right now or coming up that you're like really gunning for?
I do not yet know what's next on the on the docket. I personally was recently hearing about New Jersey passing a law that will protect and expand abortion rights, so that if Roe v. Wade falls, mm-hmm. those rights aren't based just on case law that are based on Roe v. Wade. It'll be actually in law. And so New Jersey's doing that. I'm like, well, New York should do that if New Jersey's doing that. So I think that's one thing that is on my mind
we
for the future.
Have New Jersey doing better. No hate to New Jersey. It's just... Fun rivalry, everyone.
Fun rivalry.
So thank you, Kristen, for telling us about Amplifying Activists Together and more ways we can get involved. What is next for you, like in life, in your career? What is next for Kristen Dwyer?
Yeah, I have just started dipping my toe back into working in person a bit.
Yeah, that's right.
I've done... one or two events, and a little later this holiday season, I'll be at Company XIV for Nutcracker Rouge, just swinging in a few shows a week there, but that will be a lot of fun, I think. Mm-hmm. And yes, Return the Moon continues.
That sounds so fun. And I have never seen a show at Company XIV, even though I keep meaning to go. So maybe I'll stop in this holiday season.
Maybe
this will be the year. And where can people find and follow you if you want to be found and or followed?
You can find me on Instagram at kdwyer596. You will definitely see... political stuff in my stories and also like food I cook and things I cross stitch.
I love the, I don't know if it was like a sample or a warning, but I love the summary of what we're going to see on your account.
Just so you know, if you're going to follow that account, that's what you're in for.
Great. That's amazing. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kristen, for being on Keep Sweet.
Thank you so much, Joshua.
And I will talk to you soon at a rehearsal or a show. So And that was today's interview with stage manager Kristen Dwyer. Everybody come see Return the Moon and see all the cool work that she does on the show. And what else do you have for the folks, Matt?
Is she related to Christine?
No.
Has she been in Wicked?
No.
Goals.
What?
I don't know. Are you sure she's not related? How many Dwyers do you know?
I don't know, but the Jack Daniels is taking hold, I feel.
There we go. I'm about to move the clothes from the washer to the Dwyer.
Okay. Okay, Matt is canceled now. No more on the podcast. That is all. I'm going to have to leave this episode before things go even further south. So thank you all for listening. Be sure to share the episode if you liked it. Rate, review, tell all your friends. And be back next week for next week's good news story and another cool interview coming your way. Hope you all have a great rest of your week. And as always, keep sweet.